Welcome to the first Hire a Hero, Hire a Vet podcast. Orion is the nation's leading military talent firm, specializing in the creation of best-in-class programs, allowing you to attract, hire, develop, and retain top military talent. In January 2016, Orion decided to expand its reach and deliver our highly successful talent acquisition processes to a wider marketplace. We acquired Novotis, a leading provider of RPO and recruiting services, and we're now able to offer high-quality non-military talent as well. If you have any questions about this podcast or ideas for a future show, please send me an email at podcast@orioninternational.com. Today, I'm joined by Dustin Little, Director of Client Delivery for Orion Strategic Programs. Dustin's expertise and passion for the recruiting industry will provide valuable insight on RPO and how it can help your organization achieve successful recruiting results. Hey, Dustin. Thanks for joining today.
Hi. Well, good to see you.
I know you have quite... Yeah, exactly. It's exciting. It's our first one.
It is.
So I know that you have an extensive background in staffing, so I wanted you to just give our listeners an overview of your background and now your current role with Orion.
Sure. So I got into the business in 1992, joined a semiconductor search firm as a researcher, and then within a year or two, I became a recruiter and then an executive recruiter. And so during that 5 years at Spencer Search, I became what's called a big biller, meaning that I took to it like a duck to water, and I placed a lot of engineers. I eventually left Spencer Search and started my own company called Alpay. My key partner at that time was Intel, and built a small firm, a specialty firm, that was about $1 million, $1.2 million a year. But really, it was less about the money, more about what we were doing. We were placing some pretty critical design architects and some other folks that were really changing the world at that time. From there, I went to Adecco. That's the world's largest staffing firm, where I led Central Texas, New Mexico, and South Texas, which was a pretty large region for Adecco. That was my first sort of launch into contractor or temporary staffing, and so we had a really close relationship with Applied Materials, so that was my first experience of managing a very large account. So we had 800 contractors, and you can imagine that's hundreds of millions of dollars to spend if you look at the account overall over the course of a few years. I left there and went to, where did I go? I went to Dell, actually. And so at Dell, I was supposed to join just for a brief time to help some folks get through a crisis, but as it is with Dell, you get sucked in. And I led executive recruiting globally for what's called Product Group, which is their engineering side, and worldwide procurement. So I went in for 20 days, and 2 years later, I looked up in my cube, and I was like, what am I still doing here? But anyway, I left Dell and went to Manpower. Manpower was actually had bought a firm in England called Brook Street, and they'd got a taste for permanent placement, so they decided they wanted to change their complete structure and add permanent placement to as a business line in the U.S. And so I was part of the core team that brought it to the U.S. And so for 6 years, we grew an organization of 225 dedicated recruiters. I had about 1,000 or 1,200 what we call FTEs, meaning I had 20% of their time to do conversions and temp to perm, and led four different hubs, in Houston, Dallas, and other places that had teams. So it was an extraordinary experience to launch a business line in the U.S. So that was, I would say, a career highlight. After Manpower, I went to a diversity-focused firm. The irony, if you were to meet me, you would be like, you? Yeah, me. but I did get a chance to work with NASCAR, helping them build their integrated marketing team that was focused on Hispanic hiring. And then after those projects, really that was one of those situations where ideas were great, but I wasn't the best person for the job. there were other people much more qualified than me to do diversity. I went from there to actually a company called GCA that had won a very large contract with Freescale Semiconductor, which is now NXP, which is about to become Qualcomm, which is the number one supplier of automotive integrated circuits in the world. And I ran their contingent workforce for manufacturing in the U.S., which was four plants. We had 600-700 contractors. We had very large teams, and it was a very challenging account. I ran that business and then the facility services business, which was another $20 or $30 million doing contamination control and other things. So if you look at my background over the long haul, you will see contractor, you'll see executive search, you'll see a depth of engineering, you'll see all the, you know, and you could argue that the GCA was really a managed services or an MSP account, which is sort of very in vogue today. So I've had an opportunity to approach recruiting from a lot of different angles. And so I've recruited, I've placed CEOs, which I only did one, and that was enough to the acquired days. But I've recruited and placed many engineers, many other types of professionals. I've built recruiting teams. I've managed vendors at Dell. Part of my responsibility was managing all the retained firms and contained firms. So Korn Ferry and Egon Zehnder and all those guys worked for me whenever I was at Dell on projects. So anyway, I'm proud of my career. I love recruiting. I love this business. There's nothing like it. I was very lucky to find it right when I got out of undergrad, and I've been heads down doing it ever since.
Yeah, that's great and very impressive. I can say that you obviously have a lot of experience and add a lot to our team. So that leads me to the next question, but just to get a little bit more information about what you're currently doing now with Orion.
Oh, sure. So I joined Novotis, which was a subsidiary of Orion, of course, helping their NSS team, which does search and projects and especially healthcare and engineering and other places. And part of our support was for the MTP, Military Talent Program account base, and it became clear that there was synergy there. And so the leadership at Novotis and Orion, I'm very fortunate that they thought of me as someone who may be able to provide some value to that group. And so I joined just a couple weeks ago. And so far, so good. It's been fantastic. And I agree, actually, once I'm in it, now I really see that there's so much great strength already there. But a new perspective, someone coming from my direction at the table can really create some new dialogue. And that new dialogue can turn into something new for our customers. And I think that the timing's right for that to happen.
Yeah, and I mean, really, it just goes into the overall goal of the Orion and Novotis merging into one company with, you know, kind of leveraging both companies' strong suits. And it doesn't have to be one or the other. You can hire military talent, you can hire skilled talent, and, you know, RPO, you had mentioned MTP, but when we acquired Novotis, there's obviously services that both of us provide. So for us, our larger scale kind of all-encompassing program would be the Military Talent Program, which does sort of mirror what you guys do on the RPO side. So I want to talk a little bit more about RPO because I think it's an area that we see as being huge right now. I mean, we see potential growth for that with really a lot of companies that we work with on the military side. Can you give us a few examples of how RPO differs from traditional staffing services? So, you know, in terms of the deliverables, really just anything outside of the hires.
No, I certainly can. And I think what's important when you think about Novotis and Orion as they've come together to become a Novotis Orion or Orion Novotis or whatever is next, think of it on a line. You know, that it all kind of begins with a singular transaction. Maybe someone, hey, I need help with this particular opportunity, and then you help them. And then that turns into multiple, and then that turns into cross-departmental. and then it grows from there, and next thing you know, you're a go-to supplier or partner. And then from there you evolve into what we call an MTP, which is, hey, we're going to deliver a particular program. And if you think of a company having like a, put a pie chart in your mind, and you, about a quarter of it would be what we call UR, university recruiting, which is fresh out of school talent. A quarter of it, and this is my goal anyway, should be military. And then the other half would be traditional, would be hiring people with experience, hiring people from your competitor, hiring people who can plug and play. In other words, they can start tomorrow, they have the hard skills already, all you have to do is put the task in front of them and they can complete it pretty quickly. And so if you think of it in those terms, then RPO is the next evolution after MTP, because it's more inclusive of those other areas, whether it's UR or the traditional staffing. So if you were to think of it as a line, remember, one transaction all the way to more or less owning the process, and that's really what the recruitment process outsourcing is really about. It's about, you know, getting in, understanding inside and out. There's a true commitment between both parties. You are more or less a member of the client team. I mean, you are, like whenever I was working with an XP, really the only difference between myself and anyone else who happened to be employed by NXP was the color of my badge. You know, I was in the same Kaizens every day. I ate in the same cafeteria. I fought the same fights. You know, my staff were their staff. We shared risk. You know, all those things, you know, make for sort of the new economy, which is, you know, groups of corporations working as a team to fulfill the promise of the primary person, if that makes sense. You know, think of like GM or the other guys. There was a time when GM, for example, everything was them. The guys who made the parts, the people who moved the cars to the lots, the people who did this. But now if you go to GM, you'll see that GM is no longer what it was. It is 25 companies combined, and all they do is provide you with everything you need to be able to get in your car and drive safely every day. And that's kind of what I think of with RPO, is RPO just becomes a part of the organization that takes care of this particular piece, recruitment and setting people up for success in terms of hiring managers.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a good explanation. And really, it just gives you the consistency and predictable results because of the fact that RPO is so metrics driven. Because when we talk about the deliverables that you get from an RPO versus, you know, just a regular staffing agreement, you've got the metrics that are really driving it, the team of recruiters that are all working together, like the examples that you just gave, that it's a seamless integration where they're working together really on behalf of the organization that we're supporting. And I know, obviously, frequent review sessions where you kind of evaluate the program and what's going well, workforce planning, all of those things go into it to really just make it something that is completely taken off your plate, but also working together and making things a lot easier for that company.
No, that's absolutely true. I mean, if you think of those terms, and here's where it really all starts, is sort of the dedicated resource of it. Now, if you think of the average staffing firm has many clients, and many of those clients are opportunistic. You know, they may have a client come in one day that gives them a lot of business, and that's where their energy is going to be. So if you happen to be slower that day, you're going to be last priority. And that's just the nature of the business, especially when you're doing large-scale transactional business, which many staffing firms do. But RPO is dedicated. A team is dedicated to you. They dream, they think, they eat and breathe you. And so they're thinking about your problems and how to solve them. And so the metrics that you mentioned, that's correct. And there is a little bit of art to recruiting, of course, but there's a ton of science. And the science is pretty simple. You start at the top of a funnel. You have a group of candidates that you've identified or you're targeting, and then you work the funnel down to a result that usually gives you a successful hire. And that's what they do, is they help that process happen. And if you think of the average hiring manager, to be honest, they've got 10 things going on, and recruiting can be number one on Monday, and then it can be number 10 on Tuesday. And, you know, then you think of, well, okay, you can hire recruiters to come in and they come and go, or you can try to choose a, you know, that ideal firm that you think, hey, we can partner with this firm, but we're just one of many companies. And then, you know, the consistency, the dedication, that's the RPO secret, I think, is that they get in, they figure out how to get it right, and they get it done, and they're measured upon those, and the process is consistent, the outcome is consistent, all those things. You can scale, and we haven't talked about that. So an RPO organization, what's really great at is, so if you're, say you're an RPO provider, and you've worked with the most complicated companies in the world over time, you've learned how to operate inside of a corporate environment. You understand the processes that work. I'll give you an example. We finished a project for a specialty healthcare provider at Novotus, actually just this last month. Went very well. It was a decentralized company that was having a lot of problems getting all the tentacles to do exactly what they're supposed to be doing. And once we got involved, we identified where all the deficits were. We identified the processes that were built that were, you know, non-compliant or inefficient, or we rooted out the hiring managers that were dragging their feet or were not towing the company line on a process or whatever. I mean, but because we were a magnifying glass on it, and we knew exactly what we were doing, and we were talking about it every day, and we were informing our client each and every week exactly what was going on. Here's the pain points. Here's what's working right well. We achieved an extraordinary result. We started, you know, like with 11 hires, and we ended with 165 hires at the end of the project. We were extended twice, way past the project end date, because we were going so fast. And so really, frankly, it was a project. So we had 4 regions of 8, and our regions outpaced the other regions by 2x, in some cases 3x. And so anyway, that's a real world example, but it really does work. It's a good solution.
Well, and you mentioned the scalability, so that also lends itself to, you know, hiring fluctuations. If an organization is in a time where they're in an upturn and need to hire a lot of people, or maybe a downturn, it's really up to them. And with the RPO partnership, you're able to scale it and make sure that it's working for you in the way that it should.
That's right. And so if you think about feasibility, say I'm a client and I go out and I hire, you know, a talent acquisition manager and 4 or 5 high-powered recruiters. Mm-hmm. And then business is slow during the quarter. What do I have to do? I can't have recruiters who are very well paid, very skilled, sitting on their hands. Mm-hmm. I let them go. So
exactly,
that's a reality of business, is that you – in wintertime, no one's buying ice cream. And so RPO, you can actually pull it back. You can be like, hey, our hiring is less right now, but in 40 days, it's going to be boom. And so you can sort of dial it down or dial it up as you needed to. And then if something extraordinary happens, I've seen this before where, you know, a new factory decides is opened, and you have to very quickly and hire tons of people. Very few internal operations can do that, but an RPO can draw resources from other accounts. It can hire people quickly. It usually has a bench of folks that they can bring on right away. All the processes are in place. Everything is already wired tight, and so, boom, you can scale. So it is a very, very good solution for scalability.
I agree with everything you just said, except for ice cream in the winter, because I think ice cream is good all year round.
That's good. If you put a hot chocolate on it, yeah, it's great.
Good point, though. You know, everything we've talked about so far makes it seem like a no-brainer. So why not use RPO? Well, I think one of the biggest misconceptions is, well, if you're getting all this, it has to be super expensive. But I know that we've seen it save companies valuable time, money. So can you talk about, you know, how we're able to do that and maybe why that's a misconception for RPO?
You know, I will say this, is that not every tool is a fit for every problem. So in some cases, there are companies that simply just don't have the need for a full-on recruiter, you know, at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just may not require that. In other cases, it could be, well, I mean, I think that's the biggest case. Or in some cases, you have a very established recruiting team and a very large recruiting organization. For example, I mean, there are large, think of like the Googles of the world, I mean, where they have,
mm-hmm.
you know, 2,000 or more recruiters. They've got 400 just in Austin. And so you already have an infrastructure. You have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of recruiters and sourcers. So outsourcing that would be, wow. And then it would also be very disruptive to all those employees that are currently doing it. But in certain situations where, you know, like small, medium size or high volume environments, like where you're hiring a lot of the same type of person, or you're hiring in multiple regions, like say you're based in one town, but you're actually recruiting in 10 others, it's perfect. It's perfect for those type of environments because of the scalability, because of the processes, because of the consistency, the ability to centralize, to focus. You know, it's not a perfect solution, but it's a great solution where it makes sense. And that's going to be true of just about anything in the service sector, I think.
Yeah, and you mentioned small and medium-sized businesses, because I think another misconception is that RPO is only for, you know, very large companies, which isn't the case because we do work with a lot of small to medium-sized. It really just depends on the hiring needs. Like you said, if they are in maybe a position where they have to hire a larger volume than maybe they've hired before, if maybe they don't even have the resource to have a team of recruiters. So it definitely is something where it's really not that misconception where it has to be a large company, because you mentioned Google, of course. Those are
right.
Google's huge. They do. But, I mean, at the same time, we work with companies that are nowhere near that volume of business, and it really can be for different size companies based on the scalability.
No, I agree. And there's actually, you know, I'm trying to think of perfect scenarios or imperfect scenarios, but, I mean, large companies do, you know, put RPO in place. Most of the time, that's because of runaway spend. And so one of the advantages of RPO is it provides an answer. So if you think about a large organization, say you have 50,000 employees, and within that 50,000 employees, you have 1,000 managers that have their hands on a checkbook. they can get purchase orders approved. They can move things around. They can spend. In many companies, those folks will do rogue spending. They will go out and they will negotiate their own deals with search firms or staffing firms or contract houses or whatever, and they will do whatever they want to do to solve their problem. And so procurement organizations, general management have to have an answer to that, because if they just go to them and say stop, then that manager will be like, but I can't. I've got a business to run. I've got a product to deliver. I've got a service to take care of. And so RPO is an answer to that, because you can say, look, I understand that you have this problem, but here's the solution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, set up a time, call the representative, talk with them, and they will work with you to take care of this recruiting. And, oh, by the way, it will be compliant. It will be within the realm of what's been approved financially, so those costs can be contained and reviewed. But I've worked with many organizations where at the end of the year, people's eyebrows are up going, whoa, we spent how much? Who did?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll pull the managers out one by one and be like, what did you do? And they would say, well, I had to. One, you guys weren't providing me a solution that worked. And two, you know, on the ground, I had to do this. And so in the end, that spend was way beyond what was reasonable, or it did not fit with, you know, what procurement or anyone else on that side of the fence was looking for. So anyway, that's what I think is a noteworthy point.
Yeah, for sure. And I know a lot of people would think of RPO based on even everything that we've talked about as kind of an all or nothing type of partnership. But I know that there are, you know, different solutions that not only we, but just our, from an RPO standpoint, that, you know, that can be offered to a smaller company and from a company that maybe has different needs. It's not a one size fits all, but can you talk at all about maybe the different types of RPO solutions that we offer?
I can. All right. So, and you're right. So RPO isn't all or nothing. I think that is a misconception. If you think about the complexity, again, let's go big company again, because it's an easy way to describe it. So say you're a very large corporation with five divisions, and one of those divisions has a ton of field service techs that are part of the equation to deliver whatever your service you're delivering to your client. Well, that's an ideal candidate for an RPO, where the RPO could focus on that division. So you have four other divisions that may have other types of hires that are elongated searches or highly complex or require specialists or whatever, but mm-hmm. you could apply the RPO solution to one division. You know, basically soup to nuts, you could get it done, you know, A to Z. Now, in addition to that, there's project RPO, which is as needed when you need it. It could be 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, could be 1 year instead of 3 years, where you have a specific problem that you want to solve and you want to apply the RPO methodology to one particular project. And that's something that we see a lot. And frankly, that's kind of what I recommend for RPO. As I mentioned earlier, think of it on a line. And if I'm doing a couple of transactional deals where I've had some success and you're like, that works, give me more of that, but you're not quite ready to replace everyone in your organization or whatever people think about the RPO solution, but you're saying, you know what, for the next 5 to 10 hires, can you apply this type of solution to the next 10 hires so I can control my spend, I have advanced metrics, I have experts working on it, which I can focus my other resources on other things. And that is something that many RPO firms, including ours, does as a way to, in some cases, prove the solution. Because usually after mm-hmm. that, everyone has something that's not just qualitative, it's quantitative. You have real metrics. You can be like, look, we got our time to fill down to here. Look at the quality of the hires. Look at our average spend per hire. It's less than last year. Hey, this works. And sometimes mm-hmm. if someone's making that decision, that's what they need. They need a test drive. And once they see the results and they experience the exhilaration, it is true. I mean, once you experience it, then you get it. It's not in the abstract. So, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Well, great. So we did talk about, you know, all the benefits for RPO and even a couple of the downsides and maybe challenges, and then the different types of RPO. So are there any questions or just considerations that companies should think about when deciding if RPO in any capacity is right for them?
I think that For RPO to work, or really for any partner relationship with a firm to work that's beyond just a singular transaction, there has to be a commitment, you know, mm-hmm. and there's got to be executive sponsorship. You know, I've been a part of a lot of firms that would have wonderful ideas, and someone inside the organization would be like, we should do this, and then we do it. And then no one holds the rest of the team accountable to doing it. You know, if the leadership says, yes, we're going to do this, we are committed to this, we are investing in this solution, and we want to maximize our return, you have to have, one, a commitment to see it through. You can't just do it half-heartedly. And two, you have to have someone in leadership saying, I expect you to do this. And so I'll give you an example. So say if in the RPO, and remember, RPO, just like any recruiter, is a dance. It takes two to dance, or three if you're just really ambitious, but two, for the most part. And so if I can be the best recruiter in the world, I can go out and find you the best candidate in the world. But at some point, I have to hand that person over to you to do your part of the process. To sell the opportunity, to engage them in a way that makes them want to work with you, to qualify them, to do all the things that the average hiring manager does. So if I do my job and then I submit to you the candidate and you don't even look at the candidate for 3 weeks because you're out of process, you don't care about the process, there's no accountability to responding to the submission, if we agreed like 3 or 4 days would be reasonable, and you're doing it a month later, what's going to happen? The deal's going to fall apart. The candidate's going to feel like they're not really interested in me. And next thing you know, it doesn't work. And so commitment, dedication, executive sponsorship, I think those things are critical for any kind of initiative. And this also goes for military hiring, by the way. When an MTP program is put in place, these are powerful programs, and they're very important. And if leadership of the company says, hey, as a company, this is what we want to do, it aligns with our values, it's the right thing to do, and oh, by the way, these people are fantastic, and they're going to help us be successful. I think that that has to be done in the organization and felt and carried through from everyone. So whether it's MTP, RPO, or any kind of partnership scenario, you have to have those things, I believe, for it to work really well.
Oh, I think so too. I mean, for sure, I would say that where we always see the most success, whether it's with MTP or RPO, is when you do have that executive leadership buy-in, to where it is not just something that even that we're saying, the executive leaders are saying, hey, you have to use this company, you have to use Orion to help you fill these jobs, but give them a reason to make them want to. And with some of those reasons that you mentioned earlier, you know, better hires, lower turnover, just because of the fact that metrics, RPO is so metrics driven, you're able to use those results and kind of show them, don't take our word for it, but here's why you should want to partner with this company.
That's right. And so, we're definitely aligned, but I think that's a great way to look at these solutions.
Awesome. Well, Dustin, anything else that you want to say to our listeners on the first podcast that we've done, the first employer podcast?
No. I appreciate everyone's time and your attention. So thanks for thinking of me, and I hope that we get to talk again in the future.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Dustin, and I'm sure we'll have you back. You were a great guest for the show.
Oh, wonderful. Take care now. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks.